Bible commentators that believe that possibly Daniel in his time could have been one of the teachers, because he was in Babylon and he became had such influence, and he was an Israelite. He was a Jew. He knew the prophecies of the Messiah, and he it's amazing how God uses events in our life for things way down the line that we couldn't even possibly see or visualize. Amen. But there are Bible scholars that now believe that Daniel may have had an influence, may have been the key person in Babylon that pointed the wise men or the magi or the teachers, magistrates, which was teacher in that day. Amen. That his insight into the coming of Messiah may have been the very catalyst for those men who showed up following that star because of the ancient prophecies, because they took a captive, a wise man called Daniel down into Babylon. And these men probably came from the east, and that's probably where they came from. They were an intellectual culture in Babylon. It's amazing. We think of Babylon, and Babylonian is terribly sinful. And Babylon in the book of Revelation talks about terrible sin. But I want you to understand that the Babylonian Empire was intellectually based and centered. It was sinful, yes, but there was intellectual processes going on. You know, when they conquered nation after nation, they didn't just go in and enslave people to work and like they did in Egypt and tramp out the bricks and do those things and kill them and have them sharecrop. You know what they did? They took the very brightest and they took the best of every other culture, the best linguists, the best painters, the best educationists, the best scientists, amen, and they incorporated them into their own culture. Daniel would have been a prime candidate to be in the king's court, amen, as part of the intellectual crew there after they found out that his God, amen, that he would bow to no other God. Amen. They allowed him to have influence. And it's a good possibility, even a probability, that those men that came from the east, amen, that a man had influenced all of those teachers with the prophecies concerning Messiah. They had to get it somewhere. And they were quoting scripture from the Old Testament, which is a Jewish scripture to the Jewish people. And yet they had the scripture and they were quoting it. Remember, they took a man down into Babylon and they took some other guys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, which was not their Jewish names and their Hebrew names. They had changed their names because they wanted to incorporate them into the Babylonian culture and distance them from their Hebrew heritage, but they remained in Babylon. Amen. A representation of the faith that a Messiah would come. And the fact that kings came from the east, it did not say that kings came from the east. Your Bible has no allusion to kings. Nothing about three kings in your Bible. Oh, thank you for the hearty amen. I'm not trying to ruin Christmas for you. I ruined it for Sean when I told him the story about, the little girl who drew a picture of Joseph and Mary and the baby Jesus, and then this kind of rotund fat guy standing over beside. And there were shepherds, and there was kings, and there was Jesus, and there was Joseph, there was a baby, and there was this little rotund guy that didn't look like a shepherd or anything else. He's just a little short fat guy standing over beside everybody else, and Sunday school teacher looked at the picture and said, "Honey, what? I understand all the rest of these people. I see the shepherds, I see the kings, I see Joseph, Mary, and Jesus. Who's this? What's this character over here?" She said, "Oh, him? That's Round John Virgin." Silent night, Round John Virgin, mother and child. You've got to incorporate Round John Virgin there. And ever since then, Sean couldn't hear the song anymore without laughing. Or Doug, I don't know, which I ruined it for several people. Amen. I even ruined it for me. Every time I'm listening and they say, Round John Virgin, I say, ha! I'm not supposed to be laughing. It's a beautiful, worshipful song, but I can't get that image out of my mind. Amen. I don't know how we got on that, but I just wanted to run by that. We'll come back in a minute. Amen. The kings. I don't want to ruin Christmas for you, but really, let's get biblical. We have not followed cunningly devised fable. It said, we assumed there was three. Well, let's get biblical again before we get into this short but significant message today. Amen. There were three gifts. We assumed there were three givers. That's an assumption. The Bible didn't say whether there was three. How many know one person can give three gifts? Three. But there was more than one. We know that because they went and they followed the star. There could have been ten of those seekers. We don't know. We know three gifts that were offered: gold, frankincense, and myrrh. But, you know, you get into Bible stuff, we even know their names now. It's amazing. We don't even know how many they are, and yet we know their names. What is it, Balthazar and Beth? We got names for the three kings who the Bible doesn't even say are kings. Amen. Casper and Gaspar. Yeah, Jose get? I don't know. That's a whole different thing. Amen. But anyway, we get into all this stuff, and we begin to get, after a while, we kind of put myth around truth until you can't, you know what I'm saying? We need to keep truth centered. We don't need to add anything. Amen. It's there, praise God. One thing is for sure, amen, from the East, people knew the ancient Jewish prophecies. And they knew that great events on earth, amen, many times the heavens. Listen, the coming of Jesus and the tribulation that follows that, the Bible said there'll be signs. Where? Where are those signs going to come of these great significant events about to happen on the earth? There'll be signs in the sun, and there'll be signs in the moon. Can you say amen? During the book of Revelation, the Bible said the whole universe is going to shake, and the stars will fall like figs from a fig tree. Amen. When shaken by a mighty wind. Not at harvest time either. Shaken so violently that the green figs fall off. We want to get these little sentimental things going. We need to get the spiritual significance of this event. Amen. God shook this earth, not seismically, amen, but spiritually. When Jesus entered this world, God came down. Everybody say, God came down. Hallelujah. Say it again. God came down. Hallelujah. Amen. They brought that. Listen, this was no ordinary king, and this was no ordinary birth, and there's a good possibility, amen, that Daniel's influence in Babylon is where these learned men came from. And the amazing thing is that Gentile wise men, the Bible said they were wise men. I love the little term that says wise men still seek him. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Glory to God. And they came from the east and they followed a star. And somewhere around 2 years after, they found him, bowed down, and they worshiped him. Incredible. That's why the King Herod said, kill all the children that are a year old and under. Kill all the newborn babes. If it happens simultaneously, you don't have to kill people 2 years old and under. But because they didn't go back the way they came, and he waited for them to come, amen, he said, we got to kill all these children, 2 years and under. So it was Jesus was a toddler when the wise men came. And it's okay to put them all there together. Don't say that, oh, that's not right. That's not right. Get those kings off of that lawn. Amen. No, that's not what we're after here. We're not after debate and argument. We just want to settle something here today. This is not a sentimental little story that we can mix with mythology. We don't add to it. We don't create things into it. We take it as it is. It is powerful as it is written. It doesn't need embellishing with myth. Can you say amen? We don't need to know their names. We need to know his name. Woo! His name is Emmanuel, which means God with us. Isn't that incredible? Hallelujah. Listen to this. Listen to this carefully today. In my Bible, it begins with the Word became flesh. This is a Christmas story in John, but it's a Christmas story in another dynamic, amen, then you probably hear it all the time. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him. Listen, Christmas is about Him, church. Come on, Christmas is not about them. Christmas is about Him. Say it with me. Christmas is not about them. It's not about the shepherds. We need to hear the story. We need to know about that. But the shepherds came to do what? Worship Him. It's not about the three wise men or kings or whoever they were. It's not about them. It's about Him. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? Listen, it's not about them in this world. It's all about Him who came to save us. Listen to this carefully. All things were made by and without was not anything made that was made. In was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth or graspeth it not. Verse 14 said, and the Word, here's Christmas. Everybody say, here comes Christmas. And the Word was made flesh. Is that what happened in Bethlehem? Yes, it was. Yes, it was. It's called the incarnation. Carnate. To make flesh, to become flesh, to take on flesh. Amen. If you don't believe He was there at creation, someone said, I like the Dottie Rambo song that said, His steps did not begin in Bethlehem. They did not end at Calvary. I like that verse in that song. His steps did not begin in Bethlehem. Amen. The Bible said there was not anything made that He didn't participate in the creation of it. In the book of beginnings, Genesis, the Bible said the earth was without form and void, and God spoke. And when He began the creation of man, amen, He divulged something about the triune Godhead. You know what He said? God who stands absolute, sovereign, ruler, omnipotent over the universe. You know what He said? Let us create man in our image. That means Jesus was there. Can you say amen? They said of Him, how do you know about Moses? He said, before Moses was, I was. No, amen. He said, before Moses was, I am. And when He said, I am, He said it in the same way that God said it when Moses asked Him, whom shall I say to Pharaoh that, whom shall I say sent me when I say, let my people go? He said, tell him the I am sent you. Not the I was or the I will be, but the God from everlasting to everlasting, the God who had no beginning and has no end, the Alpha and the Omega. Jesus said, I am. Before Moses was, I am. Everybody say, He am. Not good grammar, but you got it this morning. Praise God. Amen. He was very God. He wasn't a little baby that was conceived because God came up with a salvation idea and put Him in the womb, and that was the beginning of His creation. Before she ever became pregnated by the Immaculate Conception. Amen. Jesus existed at creation. He existed not from the beginning of time. He existed, amen, beyond time. From everlasting to everlasting, He is God. I can't conceive of something with no beginning and no end. Everything seems to have a beginning but God. So when it says in the beginning, God created, it doesn't mean His beginning. It means that's how we began. That's how the earth began. But it is not how He began. Because He didn't begin. He has no beginning. He has no end. That's why He rules eternal things. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. That's why when you move into His house, it's a forever house. Woo! That's why death will never enter that place. That's why time stops. When you leave this world and this body, you can get rid of these things because time will be no more. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. That's why a day is 1,000 years with the Lord and 1,000 years with death. That's just a simple analogy to help us get a little tiny grasp on eternal things. Amen. It's amazing that even at Christmas, Christians trade temporal for eternal truths. Temporal things that, just like the world is trying to get a temporal rush out of it. I remember at work, it was so it's sad. Every year somebody says something. There's a fellow I work with. He's a black fellow. I love him so much. His name is William. And I love William. He's a great guy. He come in and he said, he was singing, "Shall I play for him, rum-ba-bum-bum? I'll play my best for him, rum-ba-bum-bum." And then he goes way off key, but he's singing with all of his heart, and I just love it. Amen. And then he looked at me, and I'm looking at him like, you know, I'm wanting to smile, but at the same time I'm wincing because he goes and does it. And he says, "I just love Christmas." And then he got into this big thing afterwards. I'll tell you what else he said. But afterwards, he says, "I want to roast me a pig." it was lunchtime. I guess he was hungry because he said, you can buy that pig already dressed. He says, you can buy him already dressed. He says, you dig a big pit in the ground. He says, come on, you don't put him up here and put him up on top. You put him in a pit in the ground. He said, I was in the Navy. We were stationed near the islands. I learned how to do that. And then said, you get them lava rocks. And he said, you put them lava rocks down in there. And you get that. And then you get banana. I got to find somebody with a banana tree. Said, and borrow some of them leaves. And then you put them leaves around the pig. And you put him down on top of lava rocks. And then you put lava rocks on top of him. And you get all that heated up. And then you cover it over. And you just let it sit there for hours. And let him slow cook. And then after a while, when you pull him out, said, oh, you've never tasted. Amen. And boy, he just got into that. But here's the thing that really got me. He said, you know something? He said, what I love is, he said, for about 3 or 4 weeks, people are kinder, people are nicer, people seem happier for 3 or 4 weeks. And he said, what is such a shame? He said, when the 3 or 4 weeks is over, everything goes back just like it was. Just like it was. See, that's something that has plagued the Christian church for years. It's getting these spiritual highs for short seasons that are mainly emotionally produced, because emotional stuff won't last. I'm going to tell you right now, you've got other emotions that'll kick in under certain circumstances. We need a peace that can't be shaken by circumstances. We need a joy that can't be quenched, amen, by circumstances. We need a relationship with God that is constant. Yes. Yes. And it is spiritually based, not emotionally stimulated. I can say things here to bring a tear to your eye and touch an emotion. Amen. But a tear to your eye is not the same thing as bowing your heart before God and laying your life before Him in a total commitment. Emotionalism is what Peter had in the upper room when he said, I'll never, they might deny you, but I won't deny you. He had the warm fuzzies because of the wonderful love and presence in that room. But down in the dirty, nasty, intimidating, incriminating streets of the city, when Jesus had been taken as a lamb dumb before his shears, amen, when it looked like he was powerless to keep from going to the cross, Peter changed his tune. And all of that great high and fuzzy feeling left. And he felt isolated and alone. He swore with an oath and said, I never knew him. Amen? It took more than emotion for him to commit. It took devotion. And that didn't come till later on. And it didn't come when he got filled with the Spirit. It came when Jesus loved him unconditionally after the resurrection, before the Holy Ghost was ever given. I'm Pentecostal. I was taught all my life, you get filled with the Spirit, that's the power that overcomes everything. Not the power of a committed life, the power of just having the anointing. And I've found out, as you have found out, it takes more than just being anointed to overcome. Amen? He that's within you is not the Holy Spirit just in terms of power, but in terms of manifesting the truth, and the truth is a person, and the person is Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Listen carefully. I don't want us to miss this. God came down. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory. See, we saw the Father in Him. We saw the Father in Him. He said, when you've seen Me, you've looked at something that no man could look on and live until now. When you've seen Me, you've seen the character that causes the glory to shine. You've seen why that light shines so bright that angels have to shield themselves. And that no man can look on God and live, but you can see God the way I'm showing Him to you. And we beheld His glory as what? As the only begotten of the Father, the express image of God. Somebody give Him praise in this room. Hallelujah. We could behold Him full of grace and truth. John bare witness of Him and cried, saying, this was He of whom I spake. He that cometh after Me is preferred before Me, for He was before Me. Amen. And verse 18 said, no man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, He hath declared Him. And I don't mean verbally, vocally. The word declared here is He brought Him out. He brought Him out for all to see. Can you say, man? He brought the Father out so we could see the very character of God, because we could see Him in a way we could perceive Him. We could see how God would be if He was one of us. How God would be if He was a man. Jesus was that God-man. And I'm going to tell you what I see about my Father in Jesus Christ. I serve a good, kind, loving, hallelujah, self-sacrificing. Hallelujah. I serve a God who is tender. I serve a God who wants to embrace me and help me. I serve a God whose ear is open to my cry because His heart is set on me. I serve a good and gracious God. Because Jesus said, when you've seen Me, what have you really seen? The Father. God is, the mysticism about God is taken away. Jesus said, if God were a man, this is what He would do, because I am God in flesh. Incredible. That's how you can fall in love with God. It's hard to fall in love with this powerful being that sits high in His lofty heaven and that you have to account to as your judge. It's easy to fall in love with this Christ who came down and condescended to become one like us and took children upon His lap and embraced them and told the blind man, what do you need? And opened His eyes and told the leper, amen, you can go home clean. Amen. Hallelujah. And set the demoniac of the Gadarenes free and fed the hungry. Amen. With multiplied bread and fishes, and went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Hallelujah. And said, when you've seen Me, you've seen the Father. So when He lived His life out here on earth, we beheld His glory. The glory, amen, of God, that the very character of God that makes the Shekinah shine. We didn't see that white hot light. We didn't need to. We saw behind the light. We saw beyond the glory that they saw, amen, in the temple. We saw something better than that great light. We saw the character and the nature of the God who caused it to shine. Isn't that incredible, Sister Venable, that we could see what angels had to close their eyes to? We beheld His glory. Praise God. Hallelujah. That's incredible to me. Most of us do not realize that there are two sets of Christmas stories in the Gospels. One set of Christmas stories is the Gospel of Matthew and Luke. The other from the Gospel of John. The first set of Christmas stories are familiar. We can see these stories, visualize those stories, imagine those stories, such as Zechariah and Elizabeth, Mary and Joseph, the baby in the manger, the sheep and the shepherds, the angels and the angel choirs, the three wise men and their gifts of gold, frankincense and myrrh. But the second story comes from the Gospel of John, and we cannot see or visualize, and we can't draw or paint John's story. Amen? Why can't we do that? Amen? Because it's not about shepherds and sheep. It's not about kings and their presence. It's about God coming down. It's not talking about the manger. John is not mentioning the manger. He's mentioning the fact that God became flesh. His whole focus is on something beyond the manger and the cuteness and the innocence of the baby that laid in it. He's saying God was in the beginning, and the Word was with Him in the beginning, and the Word was made flesh. Everybody say, the Word was made flesh. Someone said the true story of Christmas is not linked to one day or a week or even a season. The Christmas story, in essence, did not even not end even with the death of the babe, whose story is still told. Because the impact of that day will echo throughout all eternity. It is the impact of God becoming man and dwelling with us. The only one who can properly put that into perspective for us is God Himself. And perhaps the best summary of what it means from a God point of view is seen in the book of John. Can you say amen? The Word was with God, and the Word was God in the beginning, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. Somebody give Him praise in this room. Hallelujah. John didn't write about shepherds or wise men because he was overwhelmed by the impact of what the incarnation of Christ meant for everybody. No man could have shed his blood as an atoning sacrifice on this planet. Nobody was that pure. No blood was that innocent. All of it was tainted. When babies are born, they're born under the curse. They're not going to heaven because they're innocent in the sense of having no sin. They're going to heaven because they're below the age of accountability. You don't believe babies have a sin nature, wait till they grow up. Huh? Come on, wait till they grow up. Someone said, and I like this statement, it's very biblically true, it's sound doctrine. Man isn't a sinner because he sins. Alone. He sins because he's a sinner. That's why you got to be born again. Yeah. Can you say amen? All of us have to be born again. We have to experience the new birth, become a new creation. Babies get jealous early, possessive early. Put two kids together in one toy. Look at those innocent little eyes. I'm so sweet. Put me on a Gerber jar. But give two babies old enough to clutch things. Come on. You know the people still do that. You know. And put one rattle between the two children, or three of the sweetest ones you can find. And watch what happens. The other one. And the other one. Why? We're born with this. It's inbred. We come into the world with it. We're part of Adam's fallen seed. In Adam, all die. But in Christ, all live. Can you say amen? Through the first Adam, what happened? Sin. This curse came upon all man, and it was passed down, and it continues to be perpetuated. But God sent His Son in the likeness of our weak flesh to become what? In essence, a second Adam. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The beginning of a new creation. Amen. I said the beginning, the firstborn of many brethren. The beginning of a new creation, of a new class. Hallelujah, that's not under the curse anymore. Praise God. Hallelujah. This coming was a mighty thing. John didn't write about shepherds and wise men because he was overwhelmed by the impact of what the incarnation of Christ meant for all people, for all time. The story of Christmas is not about a few shepherds or even Mary and Joseph. The true story is about the good news of glad tidings for all men. We celebrate Christmas because of what happened that day was the defining event of so many of our lives this day, that God came to save mankind, and He had to become one of us to do that. It took a sinless representative of the fallen human race to redeem it. Amen? That's why the blood of Jesus is called the precious blood of Christ, without spot and without blemish. Can you say amen? Sin had never touched him and it never tainted him, so he could offer the perfect sacrifice. Isn't that incredible? So when we get caught up in the sentimentality and start blending the mythology with it, we miss the point of it. The great gospel that ought to blow you away is in John. That little baby was the Word made flesh. That little baby was God incarnate. It is a tenet of the Christian faith that marks whether or not, amen, we're hearing the true gospel. The Bible said in the book of John, every spirit that does not confess that Christ, the Messiah, God, the second person of the Godhead, God Himself, has come in flesh. Everybody say, has come in flesh. Every spirit that confesses not that God has come in flesh, that Christ has come in flesh, is anti-Christ. And we do know them. Why do we know them? Because greater is He, the Spirit of truth, that is in us than he that is in the world. It's not just the power that's in us. It's the person who is in us. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Wow. So I don't care what anybody's preaching if they don't believe that Jesus was God. By the way, that's why they put him on the tree. Because he confessed that he was God. Why did he do that? Because he was God. In the beginning, God. In the beginning, God. In the beginning, the Word. In the beginning. Amen. Let us create man in our image. Without him, there was nothing made that was made. And the Word was made flesh. Everybody say, baby in a manger. Everybody say, God in the flesh. God come down to us. Everybody say, God come down to us. Hallelujah. It's a tenet of the faith that when you lose that one tenet of it, the faith crumbles. Jesus had to be God, or he's not the Messiah that the Bible spoke of. Can you say amen? And you'd be amazed how many so-called Christian writers and theologians do not believe any longer that Jesus was God. They believe he was good, but that he wasn't God. And they put him alongside of a lot of other good people that have influenced culture and society. And if you want to get on the History Channel, people that have a degree in theology but don't know anything about God through a personal experience, they will present Jesus as a good man but not a God man. Amen? It's incredible to listen to some of their jargon. They'll say, Dr. So-and-so, has a theological degree from so-and-so cemetery. And if you're dependent on your degree and you don't have a personal revelation, you're not even saved. Because flesh and blood cannot reveal him to anyone. That means a professor cannot teach, amen, someone to be a clergyman with a faith that embraces something that only the Holy Spirit can indulge and divulge. Incredible. Hallelujah. That's why Peter could go preach like he did. Amen? Because he had a revelation of God. We've been speaking about God's peace in troubled times a lot lately, and it's based on the Apostle Paul's declaration in the New Testament that he stated many times. He would put in his letters, the God of peace be with you. Because he knew that presence manifest in the life of the believer would produce peace. Peace in a prison cell. Peace, amen, to die a martyr's death. Peace to live your life without all this other stuff tearing it up. It becomes crystal clear at Christmas especially that God's supreme act of love and compassion was to come into our fallen world, take on flesh, become one with us, identify with us, and then sacrifice himself on the cross for us. That's why the Bible said we don't have a high priest that cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, But he was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us come how? Tentatively? Let us come, you know, sheepishly? No, let us come boldly and confidently. Where? Before the throne of grace, that we might obtain grace and mercy to help us in the time of any need. We have a good God who's felt what we feel, so he receives us graciously when we come to him. Embraces us, helps us. And we can come with the bold confidence that he's not going to reject us because he's been where you are. But he didn't sin. Can you say amen? We did. He didn't. But he's the only one who didn't. And then he loved us enough to say, you know something, I will go to that cross. I will lay down my life. To wit, the scripture said in the New Testament, God was in Jesus Christ laying down his life. How can God die? He had to become one of us and let that body part pass. That's what blew these theologians of old away. That's what inspired some of the great songs of the faith. Who am I that a king would bleed and die for? It goes way beyond a king bleeding and dying for you, a high-ranking potentate. No, who am I that God would come to this earth and die on the cross so I could be saved? Not a good man, but God himself. Christ was made a little lower than the angels. That's the man class. Everybody say the man class. It's woman too. You feminists, forgive me. It's mankind. You're part of mankind, believe it or not. You're just woe man. Just for the ladies to perk you up this morning, a great comedian on television, you know, clear feminist though, and she was saying, you know, everything that causes pain to a woman has to do with men. Menopause. There's other things I don't have to say, but you know. Every Christmas I try to capture this great truth anew and afresh in my own life. I see Christians busied. I see Christians blending the myths with the truths, not grasping truths that ought to cause us to be just absolutely in a worshipful state of mind that nothing going on around us could even break the focus. But I see us getting busy. I could have been busy last night. I could have had a great time. I might have got the door prize. They have a good door prize. Amen? And I could have just dug up something from last year and laid it on you this morning. You might not have even known the difference, but God would. But I'm going to tell you, I didn't dig up something. Hey, if it had been Monday night, I'd be there. Pamela felt like it. But I'm going to tell you something. I am not going to sacrifice this glory for anything. There's nothing. Nobody's God. There's nothing. So there's nothing. There's nothing. There's nothing. You lose the peace, amen, that passes understanding. I don't care what you do for Christmas. You can cook that pig down in that hole till it's falling off the bone. Can you say amen? But if you don't have peace, you know what the guy said? He said the truth. He said, but as soon as it's over, people are going to go right back to their old self. Well, this was a life-changing. This is not supposed to ever be over. Can you say amen? This is an ongoing thing. Hallelujah. That baby coming is why I'm saved today. That's why. And I'm going to tell you, salvation in my life is an ongoing thing. Hallelujah. I got saved at 21. I am going on 61. I'm telling you, this is an ongoing thing. It's not old to me. It's exciting. It's fresh. It's as if Jesus came yesterday, died today, and he's coming back tomorrow. You didn't hear me. I said, I'm going to live this as if Jesus came yesterday, died for me today, and is coming back for me tomorrow. Somebody give him praise in this place. Oh, if you ain't going to shout, I'll shout for you. Pour it on me, Lord. I've seen rock stars get better hands. Give him a better hand than that. I've seen rock stars get better than that. Way better than that. This is for Jesus. This ain't for me. Oh, don't give him no more patty cake. Stand up and give him praise in this room. Hallelujah. I'm about to quit preaching. It's time to start praising him. Hallelujah. Somebody give him praise. Clap your hands one more time unto the Lord. Give him some praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're getting close. We're getting there. We're getting there. We're not there yet, but we're getting there. Amen. Okay. This, stretch your hand this way. Let's believe God right now. Father, touch my sister. Just give her plenty of room to breathe right now. Father, touch my sister. Let her breath come sweetly, deeply into her lungs. Father, I praise you and I thank you right now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you. Now, can we just give her a little space to breathe? Just let her breathe now. We've prayed. God is here. And we need her breath to be just nice and easy and sweet. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. I've had it cut off, and yeah. Father, I thank you. Kim, it's okay. It will pass. Believe me, it will pass. It will pass. It is passing. Thank you, Father. How we love you and need you, Lord. We praise you that you're here. Praise you that you're here. Looking for a little aspirin? Okay. Anybody got an aspirin? It will thin her blood a little bit and it'll flow freely. Praise the Lord. That's okay to do that after prayer. No. This will pass. This will pass. This will pass. Okay. It's okay. It's okay. Thank you, Father. This will pass. This will pass. This will pass. This will pass. God is here. How we need him. This will pass. Thank you, Father. This is passing. Thank you, Father. Thank you. This is passing. 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 I've been in those purses. I know what that's like. It'll turn up in time. Everything's under control. God is here. His wonders to perform. His wonders to perform. I sat in Calvary Temple one time listening to a speaker speak. I had a terrible, terrible spell in there. I didn't know if I'd walk out of there or not, but you know, the peace of God came, and it didn't matter whether I walked out, they carried me out, what happened. God just came all over me, strengthened me, and he's here right now. He's here right now in the name of Jesus. He is Emmanuel. He is with us. That's the great message. Maybe this is enhancing. This is not distracting from the message today. It's showing us just what it means to have God with us. How important and vital that great truth is. Not just at Christmas, but all year long. How we must have God with us. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. If it had not been for the Lord who was on our side, David said our enemies would swallow us up quickly. We would have no defense. We would be helpless and hopeless. But to the nation of Israel, he said, but God was on our. Let all Israel say, let everybody that's a covenant person say, that had not been for the Lord. I don't think anyone in here could possibly be here today in the state that you're in if the Lord hadn't taken your part somewhere along the way. Amen. If Jesus hadn't interceded for us on the cross, hallelujah, none of us would be saved today. And that proves something, that God is on our side. Hallelujah. And if God be for us, it doesn't matter what's against us or what our circumstance is. All that matters is God is for us. God is with us to prove that He is for us. And that's why He came. Even when we were in our sins, God was for us, not against us, against our sin, but for us. So He came to save us from ourselves and from our sins and to help us. Praise God, just like He's helping Kim right now. Right now. Praise God. Hallelujah. Boy, these old bodies, they're, you know what's left here? Your body and mine. I take my vitamins and say my prayers. I do. I take a multivitamin. I try to watch, do everything I know to be healthy. But I'm very acutely aware, without any fear whatsoever, but I'm aware that this body is perishable. There should be a stamp on me somewhere that says perishable. Amen. This body, your body. If you think your life is mapped out and your whole future is going to be thus and thus and thus, no, one event in your body can alter all of that. And it's not an age thing. It has nothing to do with how many years you've been down here. We live in a fallen world in a faulty body. That's why we need God so desperately in our hearts and in our lives. I appreciate Him so much today. God is here with us. Hallelujah. Whatever touches your life touches my heart. Never doubt for a moment my love for you, my people. Whatever touches your life touches my heart. So come, come, come with confidence and full assurance, and I will deliver you, and I will help you, and that right early, saith the Lord. Somebody give Him praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. In the beginning, God, Alpha and Omega, beginning and the end. God is here, His wonders to perform. But you know what happened 2,000 years ago? God said, how can I redeem fallen man? No, He didn't say that. From the day one, Jesus was the Lamb that in God's mind, in God's heart, in God's foreknowledge, in God's infinite wisdom, Jesus was the Lamb that was slain in the mind and heart and purpose, eternal purpose of God, before the very foundation of the world. Christ was not an afterthought. He was planned. If I'm going to create a being, give him a free will, he can make the wrong choice. And if he does, I want to provide a way back. Can you say amen? Everybody say a way back. Aren't you glad that God came down to provide a way back from all that happened? And all the reverberations of that fall in the garden, when Jesus stepped out into humanity, he said, I am the way. I'm the way what? I'm the way back. Yeah. Hallelujah. Can you say, man, I'm the way back to a relationship with God that is unbroken by sin. And the last part of us to be redeemed is the least part of us. Isn't that incredible? The Bible said the body is the last part to be redeemed. And the last enemy to fall will be death that affects the body. That second death that affects the spirit has already fallen. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And on that great resurrection morning, fare thee well, fare thee well. On that great getting up morning, do you know a great getting up morning is going to come? Can you say amen? And I got people that have lived full of years that I can't wait to see get up. And I've got a little girl that was just 4 days old with jet black hair and beautiful dark brown eyes, Lisa Marie. She's going to get up too. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. God is so good. Without that manger, God would not have come down, but he came down. Hallelujah. Let me read one more scripture. We're going to close with praise. Matthew 1:19-23 said, "And Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take to thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived of her is of the Holy Ghost. She shall bring forth a son, thou shalt call his name Yeshua, Jesus, Joshua, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son. They shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us." Can you say amen? There's nothing like that. No news like that. No religion in the world allows for God to become one of us. I got to read you this, and we're going to pray. God is here right now. Everybody here that needs the Lord, you need to open the door of your heart and let him in. You need him so bad. I need him. I'm desperate for Jesus. I can't live a moment, let alone a week, a month, or put off this in my life. I have to have him every single day to cope. If I didn't have Jesus, I would be drinking, toking, shooting. I'd be doing something, amen, to cope if I didn't have Jesus. If I didn't have Jesus. But I do have Jesus. God with us. It's a true story. One evening, Jennifer was inside the house waiting for her parents to come home. Because of a bad snowstorm, they were taking longer than expected. Jennifer stood at the window, the living room window, looking for them when thump, something hit the glass. This really surprised and even scared Jennifer. You know what it was? It was a bird that had hit the window. Jennifer could barely see it lying in the snow, not moving. It had broke its neck when it hit that clear glass of that window. The poor bird, Jennifer thought, I better go out and get it. Maybe it broke its wing or something. As she was putting on her coat and boots, because now it was becoming a blizzard condition, a whiteout, literally, and the winds picked up and the wind chill had dropped the temperature well below zero. She heard two more thumps. She jumped up and ran to the window. Two more birds were lying in the snow. So she hurried outside, and when she got there, there were even more thumps, more birds banging into the glass. Why did they do that? Jennifer looked up and saw the cold snow blowing around her and the bright warm light in the window. Of course, the birds saw the bright warm light and wanted to come into it and get warm, but they couldn't see the glass in the window. What should she do? They were still banging on the glass, so she ran back and forth across the front lawn, waving her arms and calling, "No, no, go away!" Then she had an idea. She ran into the house, turned off the living room lights. There, they quit banging into the glass. But now what did she hear? Bangs into the kitchen glass. Well, the birds were trying elsewhere to get in because there was a warm light. So Jennifer ran through the house, turning off all the lights in each room. She ran outside to see if the birds were all right now. They were wheeling and flying around, all confused, not knowing where to go. And the snow and the cold were getting worse. So she had another idea. She turned on a light in the barn and opened the door so the birds could fly in and be warm. And that's what she did. And a few birds saw the light and flew in right away. But most of them couldn't see the barn's light because it was behind the house. So they kept flying around in the front yard. And some of the birds were still banging into the window because they remembered it had looked warm. Jennifer was so frustrated, she stamped her feet, and through tears she said, "I wish I could become a bird for just a little while and speak their language. I'd tell them where the light and the warm place is." And then a thought came to Jennifer. That's why Jesus came. That's why Jesus came. God became one of us. Jesus was born on Christmas Day to speak our language, to tell us where the light and the warmth of safety are. Storm blew over. Jennifer helped many of the birds. The one thing she never forgot, though, is how she stood in the snow and suddenly understood why Jesus came and became one of us. This year, I want to thank you for coming. Because just before I came to Jesus, I was looking for what only He can give in all the wrong places. Pamela and I have been married for 44 years, getting ready to go to 45. I'm telling you, our marriage would not have outlasted our sins much longer. Only Jesus. I was thumping, looking for that light and warmth that only He can give. Thank God He came. I got children that I can leave a legacy because He came, who respect their dad and respect my faith. I don't want to ever fail them. I love Him today. I'm faulty. I'm flawed. But I love Jesus Christ, my Savior. I wouldn't trade Him for anything or anyone in this world. And I mean it. And nothing that happens in this season is going to stop me from bowing before Him that came and did so much for me. Number two, if you will, let's give Him some worship. You believe He deserves praise today. Isn't it good to